Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm going to go build me a soapbox derby racer.
A soapbox derby racer. Now, where would you get an idea for that?
I have no idea, but it's going to have to be a big one. I should probably just buy a regular car and scale it down.
Seems counterintuitive, but okay. Before we get started on this week's episode, please remind you guys, rank, review, subscribe, rate, all those things on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Really helps us out. Takes a few moments, and it gets us new more listeners. We like that, so we really appreciate it. This week's episode, Saturdays of Thunder, episode 8F07, originally aired November 14th, 1991, directed by Jim Reardon, written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs. Originally aired, received high ratings because Michael Jackson's Black or White immediately followed it. Had 14.9, approximately 13.7 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag is, I will not fake rabies.
Which, you know, you shouldn't say, I will not fake rabies. You should say, I will not fake rabies unless I'm in drama class. Because if you can fake rabies really well, you should probably be in drama class. Although if he's getting punished for it, he probably didn't do it very well.
I think I would say faking rabies is not necessarily a good idea. It might get probably you hurt.
Shot it's, in one way or another.
Yeah, that's not good. The couch gag, the family falls through the couch. Works well enough. Although, I'm still waiting for the return of that alien or space mutant, whatever it was.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
I know. Episode guest stars Phil Hartman, Troy McClure. And actually, we're going to start off with some Troy and Dr. Nick.
I'm actor Troy McClure. You might remember me from such TV series as Buck Henderson, Union Buster, and Troy and Company's Summertime Smile Factory. But I'm here to tell you about Spiffy, the 21st century stain remover. Let's meet the inventor, Dr. Nick Riviera.
Thank you, Troy. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Troy, I brought with me the gravestone of author and troubled soul Edgar Allan Poe.
One of our best writers.
Yes, but unfortunately, a century of neglect has turned this tombstone into a depressing eyesore.
So what? I guess we're going to have to throw it away.
Not so fast, Troy. With one application of Spiffy, you'll think the body's still warm.
Ooh. Oh. Quoth the raven, what a shine.
Homer is watching this infomercial to start off the episode.
Which is the best use of an Edgar Allan Poe quote ever in television.
Bart is periodically breaking in, asking for power tools. Homer is just telling him...
And safety equipment.
Safety equipment, which Homer says he doesn't need. Which I would suggest that Bart probably should use safety equipment.
He's a kid. It'll grow back.
At the same time, Patty and Summer are visiting. They are looking at hairstyle catalog. I guess those are a thing. I've never seen one, but I imagine they
existed. I think women's salons tend to have them. Maybe they just stole one, took it home with them.
Yeah, I was like, I've seen such a thing in like actual like hair places, but not in someone's private ownership. But
nowadays, they call it Pinterest.
Yeah, exactly. You just go to the internet. Eventually, Marge, Patty, and Selma go off to get their hair done. Lisa overhears Homer promising that he'll spend time with his children, and she guilts him into taking him to the video store, which honestly is Homer isn't too upset about. On the way out, he does see Bart trying to weld something. Makes a comment.
You can't weld with such a little flame, stupid kid.
I don't know why he's welding something on a wooden soapbox racer, Matt, but come on. It's welding. It's cool, right?
That's true, especially without the mask on.
But Homer and Lisa go to the video store, which gives us a probably my favorite McBain clip of all time.
Hey, McBain, you keep eating them hot links, you're never going to make it to a pension.
Come on, live a little, Scoy.
No, thank you. Got me a future, partner. I'm 2 days away from retirement. My daughter's graduating from college.
Little Susie's growing up.
And as soon as we nail Mendoza, my old lady and I are going to sail around the world like we always wanted. We just christened a boat. Oh, yes, sir. Everything's gonna be just perfect. McBain.
Yes.
I'm not gonna make it.
Oh, stop talking crazy.
No. Just do one thing for me. Get Mendoza.
Mendoza!
That is a fantastic scream. I mean, I want to put it out there. Mr. Wolfcastle, good job.
Everything about that is so pitch perfect, like 80s action cop movie. Especially the music. The music is great. The boat's name is The Live Forever. Oh, so perfect. And the kind of the weird schism between the acting Wolfcastle does, like in the casual scene where he's like so wooden, but as soon as he's like mourning his recently murdered partner, he's like had this impassioned scream. It's so great.
That's true. I especially like the accurate use of weaponry, because every handgun should have a laser sight on it.
Absolutely. How else are you going to aim your weapon, Matt?
And a turkey as well.
Yes, of course. Homer eventually decides on a different video, though. His selections are pretty interesting.
Ooh, death by knockout, blood on the ice. Ho-ho! Football's greatest injuries!
Which, those are ghastly videos, but that I guess that was a time before that you could just go to the dark corners of the internet to watch these awful things. Instead, they had
RWTF?
Yes, exactly. Now, they had them in VHSs, like, that's like the next level up from the Faces of Death videos and all that stuff, just watching people's arms get snapped in half in weird, you know, in old football clips.
That's true. Homer is the perfect lazy sadist.
Yes, he is the kind of the guy who would really enjoy those types of videos, so I think they pegged him right with that. At the same time, the Bouviers are at the salon, and they find a quiz from the Fatherhood Institute, the National Fatherhood Institute, excuse me.
Of course, not the Regional Fatherhood Institute.
Not the regional, they're national. That tests your FQ, your fatherhood quotient. So they get back to the house. Patty and Selma are sporting new hairdos, which Homer laughs at. Though I think they look pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, right?
I like their haircut. They look nice. The Mary Tyler Moore is timeless. Nothing wrong with the Mary Tyler Moore. But basically, Marge takes this opportunity to give Homer the test and see what his FQ is, his fatherhood quotient.
Question one. Name one of your child's friends.
Let's see, Bart's friends. Well, there's the fat kid with a thing. The little wiener who's always got his hands in his pockets.
They want a name, Homer, not a vague description.
Okay, Hank?
Hank? Hank who?
Hank Jones.
Homer, you made that up. Question two. Who is your son's hero?
Steve McQueen.
That's your hero. Name another dad you talk to about parenting.
Next.
What are your son's hobbies?
Well, he's always chewing on that phone cord.
He hasn't done that since he was two.
Then he has no hobbies.
Oh, really? Well, maybe you should go out to the garage and see.
I would just like to state that anyone whose hero is not Steve McQueen is living wrong. So, I think Homer got that one right.
Steve McQueen is a pretty good answer. Although, now you'd have to specify if it's the actor Steve McQueen or the director Steve McQueen.
Whatever. They're all amazing. Basically, if your name is Steve McQueen, you're an awesome person.
I know. It's hard to. I guess it's hard to go wrong with that name. Homer goes out to the garage, sees Bart working on what we find out is a soapbox derby racer. And Bart's like, oh, yeah, this is. And Homer realizes that he's, in fact, a bad father.
I'm a bad father.
You're also fat.
I'm also fat.
I'm also fat. Yeah, so good. That's so great. This whole first act is like chock full of goodness. I do want to point out that SimpsonsWorld.com, the online portal for all Simpsons episodes, has the first act of this episode as both the first and second act of this episode. So watching it on there was kind of was a little bit difficult, but I'm hopefully they will respond to my support thing, then so whenever someone else wants to watch Saturdays of Thunder in the future, they will not have to watch the first and third act of this, and only those. But with that, we go to commercial.
Yes, luckily I had access to the DVDs, so I was able to watch the second act. And we start the second act with Homer calling the National Fatherhood Institute. Oh, come on, you slow piece of crap.
National Fatherhood Institute, please hold. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. National Fatherhood Institute.
Dave speaking.
I'm Homer Simpson. I just took your test.
I got a zero.
Good Lord, a zero! Lana Castle, my 1 o'clock.
Mr. Simpson, we'll send a wood-paneled station wagon over for you immediately.
Yes, a wood-paneled station wagon is the best way to bring in somebody super important.
It's the perfect vehicle for a father.
Yes, it really is. I mean, if you're not driving a wood-paneled station wagon, you're probably neglecting your children, to be honest. Which, luckily, the Simpsons have a station wagon, but it's not wood-paneled, so it's kind of up in the air with them. Of course, we then cut to Bart and his friends in the garage, talking about Bart's soapbox derby racer, where we learn that Bart does have a hero. Was it 3-time soapbox derby champ Ronnie Beck?
That's correct.
All right, just wanted to make sure I got how many times he won correctly. Who said that poorly guarded construction sites are a gold mine, which is still true today. So if you guys ever need supplies, it's a lot harder these days with all the barbed wire and the guards and everything and security cameras. But if you can get around all that, you can get lots of quality construction supplies.
Matt, I used to work in construction. That's not there. There's no barbed wire. They're very poorly guarded. It's quite easy to steal. I'm pretty certain you could go to any lumberyard in the country as long as you're driving a truck with a rack on it. And just put any lumber you want in and drive away. They would not stop you. They do not care.
That's probably true. If you show up during the day and you look official, you're good. If you show up at night, then they'll get a little more suspicious of you. So
just going show up during the day. You're good. Yeah.
So, of course, Martin is there as well. And it turns out Martin is also, you know, he's toying with some ideas. And, of course, he had some time booked at the wind tunnel, so he's got to bail. And right when he does that, you see the wood panel station wagon pull up. A couple of guys in lab coats jump out, grab Homer, and drag him away. But of course, Homer says, "You know, bye. It's cool." And I didn't capture this clip, but I probably should have. Where Milhouse says, "Hey Bart, I think they're finally taking your dad away." And Bart just nonchalantly says, "Oh well, you know, it's about time." Because yeah, Homer should have been dragged away for a lot of other things by now. Not the least his suicidal tendencies. But they take Homer to the National Fatherhood Institute, which is apparently close enough, it's within driving range, where Homer is given a complimentary copy of Fatherhood by an unnamed former actor, who we don't know who that is. You know, they don't say his name or anything, just that he used to be famous and like weird sweaters.
But it's best not to speak of it.
Exactly. We don't speak that name anymore. It's the Voldemort of entertainment, but his name we'll say. Anyway, Homer has a nice chat with the National Fatherhood Institute guy who runs it. I guess the boss or head, or he never really says what he is. Of course, Homer is still oblivious, but he tries his best. He at this point, he is earnestly trying to listen to the guy and take his advice to heart. We see a whole lot of background jokes about people studying fathers and sons. Especially, I enjoyed the underwater fathering, because you always got to watch out for sharks. And I think it was pretty messed up that kid got eaten by a shark and the father just sat there and did nothing. I mean, come on.
Well, it's a shark, man. What is he going to do to him?
He's going to jump in there, punch the shark in the face, and pull his kid out of his teeth. I mean, come on. What kind
he's
of wuss
still,
dad just stands by?
He's still learning, Matt. He's still learning. That's the whole point.
Oh, yep. That's a good point. That's why he's there. Fair enough. But luckily, the National Fatherhood Institute guy gives Homer a few pointers. The main one being he has to spend time with Bart. And luckily, Homer says, you know what? He's building a soapbox derby car. I will go help him. So Homer comes back to find Bart still at work on his car and says, I'm going to help you out. And Bart thinks, oh, no, it'll be weird. You know, spending time with your father, only weirdos and losers do that. But through a nice montage, we learn that Homer is actually quite handy. He built a spice rack that falls apart, a bird feeder that falls apart and crushes the birds inside, and a gymboree, which I guess is some kind of yard equipment for kids. Yeah, a little playground thingy that immediately collapses and almost kills Maggie. So maybe Bart has the right idea, but thankfully, Homer has the wisdom of the actor who shall not be named, and uses a little bit of reverse psychology that actually works on Simpson or on Bart. Bart says, "Well, you know, if you want to clean out these paintbrushes, I guess you could do that." Which, you know, it's every dad's dreams to clean his son's paintbrushes.
He's contributing, Matt. He's contributing at least something.
That's true. He is trying, and he's doing a great job. We then are treated to a wonderful montage of them working on the car together to a song. Is the song actually named That's My Boy?
No, the name of the song is Watching Scotty Grow by Bobby Goldsboro.
All right, there you have it. Watching Scotty Grow by Bobby Goldsboro.
There you go.
Yeah, they really are reaching into the back catalog for this one with their music.
It's a good song, though. It really fits the situation really well.
It really does. It matches exactly, because we see Bart and Homer, you know, stealing wheels from Maggie's stroller to use on the car and putting it together, and there's a couple of explosions, I believe. You know, the usual stuff that happens when you build a soapbox derby racer.
Of course.
And then we see them give it, you know, a fantastic name, Lil Lightning, which belongs so hard in a Little Rascal sketch, I couldn't even stand it.
Little Lightning is... They should get it a couple bonus points in the race just for that name.
Exactly. It makes it go faster, actually.
All the names, I think, are great names, actually, when we see the names of all the soapbox derby racers. They're all great.
That's true. Which is actually what we go to next. Apparently there are time trials, which apparently this is a pretty serious soapbox derby competition to have, you know, pre-trials. Where we see Bart and Homer with Little Lightning. We see Martin with the honor roller, which is basically is heavily based on the space shuttle, because yeah. Martin's a nerd. What was Nelson's car's name? I don't remember.
No, wait, I got it. Roadkill 2000.
Ah, yes. Apparently it's named Roadkill 2000, which is a fantastic name, and it might be an homage to Mad Max. I haven't seen those movies.
No. It's Death Race 2000, Matt.
Death Race 2000. Okay, that makes
more
sense.
Which is awful. It's an awful movie. It's much worse than any of the Mad Max movies. Even Beyond Thunderdome is much better than Death Race 2000.
Wow.
But I like it that they didn't give Nelson's car a clever name, because he wouldn't have given it a clever name. He'd just give it a name like...
I think that's a pretty clever name.
Okay.
But anyway, as Homer and Bart arrive, the gentleman who is manning the pit has some advice for them.
Father's not supposed to help build your racer, but you should at least consult him about it.
Don't!
You're in heat 4. Whoa, where's your helmet, son?
Helmets are for wusses, sir.
No, I don't think I can let you go without a safety helmet.
This is my son, and if he doesn't want to wear one, you can't make him.
Okay, fine. I want to get out of here sometime today.
Which, that's the attitude of every civil servant ever. It's my job, but I tried, you know.
I give up on safety.
Yeah. So, in the actual time trial, Martin is about to bail out because he didn't realize it was quite so high, and apparently he's a little bit prescient, because as soon as the flag is waved and the front gate dropped, Bart and Nelson take off. At decent speed, and Martin is actually a little bit behind, so apparently he's in it for the long haul. But Nelson's cronies have given him a switchblade just in case, and he also apparently has a whip for some reason.
It's Ben-Hur, Matt. You gotta have the Ben-Hur reference without the whip.
Well, that's true. He also has a few people inside the trunk for ballast, because, you know, the heavier it is, the faster you're gonna go.
And before they officially... Martin does try and stop them for a moment, as I think... Knowing Martin, he wants to recalculate maybe the wind speed and drag on his racer, but he doesn't get that chance.
No. Sorry, Martin. We see why he was a little nervous, as throughout the middle of this, Nelson is whipping Bart and running his car into Bart's. We see Martin's honor roller just tearing right down the center of Bart and Nelson, just leaving them behind. The nose cone begins to glow orange. It's going so fast. And he very easily takes first place, with Nelson coming in a pretty distant second, and then Little Lightning completely falling apart 5 feet short of the finish
line. Doesn't make it, even though it really is a really nice visual sequence. The whole race is really nice.
And then, of course, Martin is still having problems stopping because I guess he never thought of that.
His parachute doesn't. He thought of it. It just there's
technically it's a drag chute. But yes, apparently it malfunctions as things in the space shuttle apparently often do. And he crashes into a building, and the firefighters put out the fire on the car instead of him.
He runs away.
Priorities, guys. Priorities.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
We actually see Martin in the hospital shortly after this, where it's revealed that Martin is probably the worst patient ever.
It hurts! It hurts! Owie, 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 owie!
Mm-hmm. Young man, I'm afraid this stress fracture will require you to be in a cast for 6 weeks.
But that means I can't possibly race!
Son, you're lucky to be alive.
Save your palliative cliches for the next poor sap, doctor!
He combines all the whininess of a child with all of the arrogance of a adult who thinks he knows everything. So, worst patient ever.
He's a kid with a broken arm, Matt. What do you want?
I don't know. Man up a little bit, maybe? Come on.
Do you realize who we're talking about?
I know. That so would have been me if I was a kid. I would have done exactly the same thing.
I've broken my arm. It is not fun.
I have never broken any bones.
Don't do it. It's not enjoyable. Yeah, okay. Okay, I'm Mr. Glass then, I guess.
Bart comes in to visit Martin and compliments him on his driving, which, you know, I think is more the design than the driver, but hey. Martin, of course, says he can't possibly race in that condition, so he asks Bart to take over for him to make sure that Nelson doesn't win. And Bart, after a moment's hesitation, after he goes through all the reasons why he shouldn't do it, decides he wants to win, so he's gonna do it.
Winning's important.
Winning is winning is the most important thing. Remember that, kids. But luckily, or unluckily, he has to tell this to Homer. And Homer is super excited. He's like, well, since apparently not finishing the race is good enough to continue on, so they're still in the race with Lil Lightning, so he offers to pull Bart out of school to work on it some more, which is a pretty awesome thing to do as a father, to be honest. I know my dad never tried to put me out of school to work on something cool like that. But
I think the time trials were just to establish like odds for bookies or something, because I don't think it seemed to matter how well you did. You still get to race again.
That's true. It might be for determining the pole position or whatever they do in racing.
That's true. There you go.
It's very important to know that. But unfortunately, Bart has to tell him that Little Lightning is slow, it's ugly, and it handles like a shopping cart, which I'm pretty sure there are shopping cart wheels on there, so that makes sense. Of course, Homer is absolutely crushed by this news and says that he tells Bart to leave. He's just going to sit there in Little Lightning, which the Simpsons built, and forget that he ever had a son. And then, of course, the wheels immediately fall off, and the whole thing falls apart, and Homer is left to cry himself to sleep as we fade to black.
So sad, but honestly, I don't know. Homer is a little child. This is really highlighting his childishness.
Oh, absolutely. This whole thing is him being trying to be a father in a childlike way.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We get him taking Lisa to the doctor, which is really just an excuse for him to run into Martin, who is getting his arm looked at by Dr. Hibbert, and he calls him a homewrecker and growls at him.
Oh, you gave that boy the heebie-jeebies.
I like your Dr. Hibbert, man. It's pretty good. And finally, Bart is actually being the bigger person here. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I see an opportunity to win the race, and Homer, on the day of the race, Bart even brought him his what is it called? The cooler hat something or other. It was on in the intro to the infomercial earlier in the show.
That one of the hats with beer cans in the side.
Yeah, yeah. And Homer's like, and he acts like he's pouting, which Marge is like, don't pout. But he stays home, and they go to the race. This has actually been kind of stuck with me, because this is a kind of a thing where, I don't know, Homer and Marge are baby boomers, right? Like, that's their original.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, well, they've moved forward after that, but, you know. But
they're late-stage baby boomers.
Yeah, like, but they were born, they were alive, and, you know, they were coming of age in the late 60s, early 70s. That's the latter half of the baby boomers. And I think this is kind of, I think there's a metaphor here that, you know, that he's growing up and realizing how to become a father. And I think it's kind of emblematic of that, the entire culture. I think that's why that application gets put so much to at least Homer and Marge, like how they represent, you know, the culture is in the large, not just, you know, just Homer being childish. Is it, he's watching the televised? That's right. And,
well, yeah. I mean, what else are they going to put on TV on a Saturday?
I don't know. But yeah, they have the same announcer voice who is in Dead Putting Society.
Yep.
And Homer eventually, you know, he's kind of sad being sad sack because, you know, I think he feels guilty. We don't really see this at like outwardly, but he's just kind of being depressed. And eventually he is, you know, kind of going on to the fridge and is sad. And then he sees the same quiz that he failed at the beginning of the episode on the fridge. And he tries to retake it, basically.
Name your son's hobbies. Building a soapbox racer. Name one of your child's friends. Martin! Martin! I'll curse that name till the day I die!
Huh?
Who is your son's hero? 3-time soapbox derby champion Ronnie Beck! Whoa! I'm one question away from being a perfect father. Name another dad you talk to about parenting. Oh?
Hey, ho, Samson!
Shut up, Flanders! 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 When should a boy start dating?
Well, sir, there are two schools of thought on the subject.
Great, thanks! I talked to Flanders about parenting! I'm a perfect father! Hold on, son! I'm a-coming!
And at the same time, Bart is at the race, and he's upset because Homer's not there. You know, you can tell that it's bothering him that his dad isn't present. And just before the race is going to start, he looks up in the stands and sees Homer there. Homer wishes him luck. Was it win one for the Simpsons? I think is what he says.
Yeah.
And it's basically a showdown between... Is there any even... They even show anyone else racing besides him and Nelson?
It's literally just Bart and Nelson.
Okay. It's fine. It doesn't really matter. But this race, actually, I don't like it as much as the race in the second act.
It's less climactic.
Yeah, but it goes back and forth for a bit. But Bart wins in the end.
Of course.
Bart is on the podium, the winner's podium. He's given a trophy by Ronnie Beck, who turns out to be a little tiny kid. Which makes sense,
obviously.
I guess, because the smallest kid could, you know, you could... Of course, you would think that a heavier kid would do better just because more weight would make your car go faster.
He must have totally cheated.
I don't know. But Nelson, they're celebrating, and Nelson is there to give them a little bit of a reminder.
I was alone out there, but someone was riding with me in spirit. This is for you, Dad.
No, son, you earned it.
I might remind you both I did design that racer. The driver is essentially ballast.
Which, Martin is being a little bit of a jerk here, but he is correct. You know, he did all the work, and now Bart and Homer are celebrating like they did something monumental, which I think... is enough to like kind of take the, and then it does. The episode ends with them making fun of Nelson, just mercilessly mocking him after he tries to actually like be a good sport,
magnanimous.
Yeah, he tries to like being very un-Nelson like, and Marge even kind of scolds Bart, and Bart's like, "Well, I know, I might not win again. Let me be a jerk for once." So it ends with both Bart and Homer mocking Nelson, and that with the Martin quip. I think it kind of tempers some of that, like, yay, they won thing, like the big happy ending feeling. Yeah, it makes
it less of a typical sitcom and more like a, okay, now we're going to subvert it in a funny way.
Yeah, and Homer, and we see that in that fatherhood thing, that Homer, I think, needed to be reminded that he to be a good father is not necessarily passing a test, but it's acting like one even when you're not necessarily being tested. And it's interesting that what reminds him that he can act like this, all he has to do, he has the confidence again. And I think that's something we come visit back again and again and again, is Homer with confidence. That's all it needs. He just needs a little confidence and he's fine.
Fine, you know, in quotes.
Yeah, exactly. Quote, unquote, footnotes. Fine. Yeah, fine. That's the episode. They are played off by Wind Beneath My Wings, which is also kind of a funny, like, oh yeah, very cheesy thing.
Fantastic music in this episode. Fantastic. Yeah,
music's really good in this episode. It's really, it's a great episode. I really love it. It's a lot of fun.
It's kind of like Dead Putting Society, but it's probably actually funnier. There's a lot more jokes in it.
Yes, and of course has Troy McClure, has McBain, it has, you know, a lot of great movie references, Lethal Weapon, Ben-Hur, even the title, Saturdays of Thunder, is just clearly Days of Thunder, it's, I mean, clear reference to that. Really solid episode. I see how well it does in the rankings, so I'm excited. Ooh. I'm gonna see how it goes. That's gonna be tough, though. It's getting really tough competition up there, Matt.
Yeah, that top 10 is... looking almost unassailable at this point.
But we'll rank that at the end of the show. Quick reminder, you guys keep sending them my favorite episode submissions. Just email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com with my favorite episode as the title. Keep getting them in. I just remind you guys, keep sending them. I like them. They're getting great responses so far. Next up, comments from the news group. Not a whole bunch. A lot of people did not like that Michael Jackson video. A lot of people. I and this definitely keyed me in that I watched this episode live. I was
watching this.
I know I did, because I remember watching this Michael Jackson video, because as a small child, I loved Michael Jackson. And I remember watching this video when it aired originally, because it had... This is a lot of people were upset about on this news group. They're upset because... You remember the black and white video, right, Matt? It's him, like, a lot of facial morphing and stuff as he's singing the song. Yeah, yeah. At the end of it, though, there's a weird bit where he, like, trashes an alley. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
Like, he dances, does Michael Jackson dances, and then he, like breaks stuff in an alleyway. It really doesn't make any sense with the rest of the video. And after this original airing, there's such an uproar, they pulled it from subsequent airings, like whenever it went on MTV afterwards, destruction part was never in it again. It probably is on YouTube now, I imagine, that the original, and you can find it easily. But at the time, I'm guessing after the original airing, unless you had taped it, you couldn't really find it for a while. So that's why I remember, because I remember watching that original airing, I remember him beating up the alley. So I know I watched this episode when it aired originally.
That is awesome.
The other thing I want to mention, just because I think it was funny, is someone... mentioning they wanted like to see a Selma and Patty in a Thelma and Louise type episode. We don't get Selma and Patty. We do get a Thelma and Louise type episode later on, though, just with a different Bouvier.
That's Marge, the one you would never expect.
Yes, Marge. And what's her name? What's the...
Ruth Powers.
Ruth, right. Ruth Powers. That's a good one. Can't wait to get to it.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, listener question of the week. This was submitted by one of our listeners, by Izzy, for being such a great good donor to the show. I got to choose a listener question. His question, a good question: Lisa's most sinister or selfish moment and why? Tons of great answers. I had to really pick and choose. It was really tough. I really applaud all you guys who answered. Really appreciate it. First up, we got Emily at Blueberry Tech. Her answer: my sister, my sitter. Even if Bart injures himself on purpose, Lisa still put him and Raggy at risk in favor of her job. Sean at Johnny Mac 15, his answer: I love Lisa. Breaking Ralph's heart in front of a live TV audience is perhaps more detestable than the death of Frank Grimes. If you watch very closely, you can see the exact moment his heart breaks. We have Ryan at EID9. Her most selfish moment was ruining Homer's BBQ. Even if it did nearly lead to Mr. Burns donating money to the orphanage. And we have Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Lisa ruining the BBBQ. And Lisa the Vegetarian. I love everyone is very sharp BBBQ. I understand she had her beliefs, but you just don't win friends with salad. On to Facebook, we have Chris. In Lisa's rival, Lisa begins to feel threatened by Allison because she is smarter, younger, and a better saxophone player than she is. Lisa steals Allison's telltale heart diorama and places it with a cow's heart. Of course, Lisa's conscience kicks in and she produces the real diorama after a tasty homage to the real telltale heart story, which that whole episode is really good. And it really does kind of pick at that Lisa's kind of you know, she's used to being the smart person. How does she respond to not being the smartest person?
When her world falls down around her.
Yeah. It does also have I Bent My Wookiee in it. Daniel. Daniel's answer, on a clear day, I can't see my sister. It's bad enough that Lisa takes a restraining order out on Bart, alienating him from his entire family in the process. Then she deliberately torments him with a poking stick everywhere he goes. That malicious behavior is completely, entirely out of character for Lisa. Makes the episode my least favorite out of the entire series. Well, almost. As much as I hate the episode, the Gary Busey PSA on restraining orders is hysterical. One of my favorite guest star moments of the series, but the rest of the episode is unwatchable for me. We have Abby. Okay, I got it. When Lisa steals Homer's pig at his BBBQ, it meant so much to him, and she only cared about her cause, which was brand new to her at the time. In her defense, though, she's only 8. And finally, we have Jordan. I think that Lisa's most sinister moment has to be the "Is my brother dumber than a hamster?" social experiment. We have all had moments where we wanted to make our friends or family look foolish, but electrifying a cupcake is just plain wrong.
Not to mention really hard.
Yeah, wouldn't it be grounded? I don't think, how do you electrify, I guess you, if the tinfoil, I can make a tinfoil wrapper for it, I guess you could do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think that's the only way. We'd have to double check if it actually checked. You are our science reference.
That's true. A cake is usually an insulator. However, if she had mixed in some metal with the frosting, it is possible.
Okay, there we go. Matt, what's your answer on this one? I'm really interested to see what your answer is, because I know Lisa's your favorite character.
That's true. I'm actually going to go with Girly Edition, when Bart and Lisa are on the school newspaper, and she sends Bart out to do an interview and, you know, possibly get killed by Willie because she wants the spotlight.
That was actually my second choice.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the season 9, so it's starting to get into the more questionable seasons. But that is a great episode overall, and just Lisa's pettiness. And for really no reason does she hate Bart in that episode. It's just really funny to see her steeped in the jealousy that we all feel all the time.
My answer, that was my second choice. That was close to it. Mine was Little Big Mom. Because tricking people into thinking they have, I just blanked on the name of the disease. Oh, leprosy. Making people think they have leprosy is pretty terrible. I don't care what they've done. And especially when it's Bart and Homer, it's pretty cruel.
It's cruel, but it's also very funny.
Yeah, it is funny, but I can't. I was trying to, like, that was my debate between that and, the episode you just said, Matt, why can't I?
Girly Edition.
Girly Edition. Like, which is crueler? And I don't know. I was trying to think of what she's more justified in. And, like, I don't know. Bart and Homer are always messy. I don't know why she's surprised that the house gets messy when Marge isn't around. But, yes, great, great question. Made me really think. I had to really think about this one. Next week's question. What is your favorite or best, however you want to define it. I'll probably just say best. What's the best Homer Bart episode and why? And this could be any kind. I mean, it could be like Homer versus Bart, Homer and Bart teaming up, or Homer and Bart relationship. You know, any, however you want to. You guys are always very creative in how you interpret these questions, so I'm not going to try and put too many restraints on it. But simply that, what's the best Homer Bart episode and why? I'll post on all our social media on our Facebook at facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. We have, Twitter, @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. We're getting a lot of followers, a lot of people are getting engaged, I really, really like it. Facebook, we're over 200, Twitter, almost to 300. You can put us over the edge, people out there, if you want to follow us on Twitter, put us over 300, really like to see that. So, Matt, listener question's over.
Uh-oh.
You know what that means?
No, Robbie, please tell me.
Tell you what it means.
Yes, please.
It means that it is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them, chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, where does this one go, Matt? This is a good one.
This is surprisingly good. I'm definitely going to start it out. It's better than Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment, which I hate to say because I love that episode, but it's definitely better than that.
I agree.
I would put it above Homer Defined, but that's kind of where I go, because I definitely like Father Like Clown is a little better. It's got that father-son thing, but I don't think it's quite as, memorable as like Father Like Clown. But it's whether it's better or not than Homer Defined. I think it is, but I figure you'll have something to say about that.
No, I think it's better than Homer Defined. Actually, I would probably put it higher. I probably would. I love Homer Defined, but I'm not going to. It's all me. It's all very my like nostalgia for it. I would actually put it higher than. I would probably put it over Lisa's Pony, honestly.
Really? Okay.
Really. I really liked it. I like Homer. I don't know. They're both very similar in that they're Homer with children, kind of. They're dealing with relationships and what he'll do and how far he'll go. I just think this one's funnier. And I love the McBain. I do like Homer Lisa episodes more than Homer Bart episodes, but I really like this episode a lot. It surprised me of how much I pulled so many clips, because I thought it was hilarious. All of it so good. Lisa's Pony can get a little bit of an edge just because of the Homer in Slumberland thing, because I do love that visually. But the sound in this one, the audio, like the songs they choose and like that sound they use in the McBain clip, like it's such, like they nailed that McBain clip. I can't like say how good that is. Like, it's so good.
So what you're saying is on sound design alone, we have to put it higher than Lisa's Pony?
Not on sound design alone. I'm just saying that it's something to contribute to a larger body of evidence. I would say it's definitely better than like Father Like Clown. I think the debate is if it's better than Lisa's Pony.
Well, let's think back. What is this episode? Definitely has the music. It's got the National Fatherhood Institute, which is the very idea is hilarious. It's got a sport. You know, if you can hear the quotation marks.
It's a sport as much as racing can be a sport.
That's true. I don't know. The regular racing requires a little more thought into it because you kind of control the car a little more. But I guess it's got a great. Dynamic between Bart and Homer. The funny thing about this episode is, does it really have any B story at all?
No, it doesn't. That's, I think, another thing. I don't know if that's against it or not. I don't necessarily think like the episodes with only one story are necessarily worse, because I sometimes, if you only have one story, you don't lose focus. Everything's contributing.
That's true.
To that one.
That's true, because there's so much good stuff, you kind of can't have anything else. I think you're convincing me here.
The B story is Patty and Selma's haircuts.
Right, which is over in the first act.
Where are you, Matt? You got. I'll see to you. I'll let you make the final decision. I think I put you. My vote will put it over like Father Like Clown. You can decide if it's better than Lisa's Pony or not.
You know, I really love that dream sequence that Homer has in Lisa's Pony, but I gotta give it to this episode. Just all the sports homages, even more so than any of the previous episodes, not to mention the sound design and, again, the National Fatherhood Institute. Oh my god. Okay, fine. We are number seven. New number seven, Saturdays of Thunder.
There we go. I got you. I pulled you around on it.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know how often we're going to put, I'm going to want to put Homer Bart episodes over Homer Lisa episodes, but Lisa's Pony is really beloved by a lot of people. I think there's much stronger Homer Lisa episodes.
Oh, absolutely.
This is kind of like the first big one, I guess, and that's why, I don't know, Lisa's Substitute still overshadows it, and that's, I guess, the big one. So I guess, I don't know. Lisa's Pony just seems like a kind of a, without, after Lisa's Substitute, Lisa's Pony is fine, but.
Not as impactful as Lisa's Substitute was.
No, which is, that's, Lisa's Substitute is probably one of the best episodes of the entire series, so it's hard to weigh anything against it. It's number one for a reason. So yes, we have a new number seven, Saturdays of Thunder. Lisa's Substitute, as we mentioned, is still number one. Homer's Odyssey, number 44, last place. On to our second page in our little spreadsheet we have. we've crossed into a second page, into new territory. You can find this list on our website. It is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Find it there. I break down by season and then overall, and then eventually I'll probably break it down by other ways too, once we get more episodes. You can find pretty much everything there. Our new episodes, downloadable streaming, links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, if you'd like to listen to us that way. You can contact us through there, comment on the episodes, and of course, donate to the show. We really appreciate that, obviously. What's next, Matt? What's our next episode?
I believe our next episode is, could it be Are we finally there at Flaming Moe's?
We are. Flaming Moe's, next episode. I'm interested to discuss it.
Oh my god, it's so great.
I don't know if you say so, Matt. We'll see.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. We got to talk about it, I think. Let's see. I'm on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. It's MixMasterCereal. You can follow me there if you'd like. And please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour at HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com, on iTunes, all those places you find podcasts. You're listening to one right now. You got to figure it out. I'm fairly certain. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true, but if you are near any sporting venues and you happen to have some sodium tetrasulfate, feel free to leave me a message in them. I will find them eventually.
It's a nice pull. I like that one. That's good. Yeah. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.